Morning, the Reverend Daniel Collins.
Good morning, everyone. I appreciate the invitation from Reverend Nash to come and be with you, and I'm excited about Reverend Priestaff coming here. I've met him. Y'all are going to have a wonderful time with the minister who will be here soon. Let me just say, I've just enjoyed being here this morning and worshiping with you. Had a lot of fun with the first service and Sunday school, and I'm just blessed to be here. Let us go to God in prayer. God, we give you thanks for this place of worship where we can come every so often and just pour out our praise to you and remember what is truly important about this life, that you love us and you have made us to be in fellowship with one another. God, we give you thanks for all these things, and we lift up all the prayer concerns that have been shared. And now as we continue to receive your word, please clear our minds and thoughts so that we can receive the word that you have to speak to us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let me get my secret compartment here. Okay. When I was a child, I was part of the Boy Scouts of America. I thoroughly enjoyed my time in scouting. And I'll always remember those late afternoon meetings I had in the beat-up old shack in the wooded part of just outside of downtown Canton, Georgia. I'll always remember the campouts and the cookouts that we have, especially the one when I accidentally knocked a live coal into my shoe, and I didn't tell anybody, and I'm pretty sure I still got the little scar there. But I had so much fun, and scouting taught me a lot of really wonderful life lessons shared by adults that I trusted who weren't my parents. It taught me a love of nature, which I had already had since I was very young, but I learned so much more about plants and animals and stars. I learned about being brave when you need to be and being responsible all the time. Being a Boy Scout did not teach me to be a Christian. That was the church's job. What it did teach me, though, I think, is wisdom. Can anyone recite? I got to say, everybody in the first service said it right in unison. Can anyone recite the Boy or Girl Scout motto? Be prepared, right? Be prepared. Be prepared is not a moral statement. It's not a confession of faith. It's not an expression of some knowledge about a specific topic. Rather, it's a posture, a way of being, a general strategy for life. Being prepared is having the necessary tools ready when we are confronted with a defining moment in which we are called to take action. Often when we hear the story of David and Goliath, we receive a message about how someone of lesser means can overcome overwhelming odds with God's help and a little bit of bravery and determination and strength. As a 5-foot-tall man, that's a pretty uplifting story, so I claim that. But aside from the underdog story, there's a story about preparation there, a story about training during your day-to-day life to make you into the kind of person to take actions in the moments that matter most. One of the more prominent parts of David's preparation in the story comes from the occupation of his youth, herding sheep. When David went before King Saul, the king questioned his credentials as a young boy to go against Goliath. He was basically saying that there was no way he was prepared to take on this fight when Goliath had been a career warrior and been trained for battle all of his life. Well, that's when David reminded King Saul that he had indeed seen combat of another kind. He had fought against beasts, bears, and lions. In his youth, He would bravely chase them down when one of these wild animals got a hold of one of the sheep of his father's flock. And even when the beast turned against him, he had learned to take it by the mane or the jaw and strike it dead as a young man. Even though this was not training for warfare, it was. He was prepared for combat. Another more immediate means of preparation for David was his choice of armor and weaponry for this battle against the warrior Philistine, Goliath. Most of Goliath's initial description, if you heard in the... I'm sorry, that was a long reading, but I invite you to go home and read the whole chapter 17 of 1 Samuel to really see all the details of this story, like we said, that many of us know from our youth. But when we heard Goliath be introduced, it was all about his armor and weaponry, and of course how big he is. He has a helmet, 125-pound scale armor, leg armor, a scimitar, all made of bronze. He has a iron-tipped spear and a shield held by a shield-bearer. He must have been incredibly strong to hold all of these things and must have been trained and experienced in using them all. Even though it seems obvious that Goliath would win any fight of just pure out of just pure overwhelming force and strength of arms, David was ready. He was prepared in another way with the tools for the fight. David did not wear or did not take the tools of a warrior, but the tools of a shepherd. He takes his staff, and the smooth stones that he chooses are perfect for shooting from a sling. And he only takes 5 of them, suggesting that he has some confidence in his ability with the sling. He's done this before, basically. King Saul tries to fit him with the king's own armor, which surely was the best that money could buy. Again, a bronze helmet and armor over his chest and a sword. But David cannot maneuver with the armor and the heavy weaponry. While it might have been too big or heavy for him, the reason that the story records, or what David told to King Saul, is that I had never tried it before. Or in the version of the scripture that we read this morning, I'm not used to it. His choice of armor and weapons for combat are not only an intentional choice about using the tools which he was actually prepared to use, but it's also a demonstration of the wisdom of when not to do something, even when everyone else would be saying, that's the thing you need to do. It makes all the sense in the world that David would have armor that would protect him from all these weapons of combat that Goliath had, and that he would have weapons that were made for battle. But he knows that he is simply not prepared to use these tools. He had all the tools he needed with a staff, a sling, and 5 smooth stones. He was prepared with the tools to fight. There's another less obvious way that David was prepared for this battle. He cares deeply about others, and he would do anything to protect and to honor the objects of his care. Once again, this goes all the way back to his early occupation as a shepherd. Individual sheep would have represented significant economic value, but I'm not going to say I would go chasing down a wild animal that got one single sheep for the money. The reality is, David was with these animals hour after hour, day after day. He knew them well. He knew how to take care of them, and he perhaps even loved them in the way that any person can learn to love and care for an animal. He makes sure to leave someone in charge when he leaves that morning that he goes to see his brothers at the front lines in the battle against the Philistines. And he's already been in the habitat. You see where my head is. He's already been in the habit of going back and forth between his flock, his family's flock, and his brothers, his 3 oldest brothers who went in service to King Saul to fight against the Philistines. His father sends him. He takes food from home and checks in with them to ask how they're doing and comes and brings reports home to his father. So David's care for his family is the reason that he was out in the battlefield in the first place when Goliath came on the scene. David cares also deeply about his people, Israel, the chosen people of God, and he is brave to stand up for them because he cannot bear the idea of Israel falling to its enemies. And finally, David cares deeply about God. When he hears Goliath hurling insults about their God and about the people of God, Israel, he stands up and asks if they're just going to allow this to happen, even though he's just a shepherd boy and they're, you know, the warriors of Israel, and they've been there terrorized by Goliath for 40 days. David's actions are certainly brave, but they are initiated by the well-formed part of his character to care for others. That's a lot of preparation going on for this defining moment for David. But there is, of course, one central factor that cooperates with David's hard work and his preparation to claim victory against Goliath and the Philistines, and that's the God of Israel. Even though David learned to fight against beasts to protect his father's sheep, he says to King Saul that it was the Lord who rescued him from both the power of the lions and the bears. Even though he took the tools of a shepherd, not even the tools of a warrior, to the fight, he says this to Goliath, "All those gathered here will know that the Lord doesn't save by means of sword and spear." And even though caring is not the characteristic that we would normally associate with fighting in a battle, David also says to Goliath that when he is defeated, the whole world will know that there is a God on Israel's side. In other words, it's God's care for the people of Israel that prompt Israel's protection from destruction and victory in battle. After all, Israel is the special chosen people of God, the sheep of God's pasture. Without the years of preparation in the pasture and fighting with the beasts and preparation in his own heart, David would not have been prepared to respond to the challenge of Goliath and the Philistines in the particular way that he did. And without God's power and action and care, David could not have overcome this challenge or all the challenges that came before or all the challenges that will come after. He was faithful and he was prepared. Every day, our actions and thoughts are preparing us for something. Are the things that we spend our time doing preparing us to live this one life that we have been given and live it well? Are we prepared to care for ourselves, for our families, for our neighbors? Are we prepared to live up to the baptismal covenant, the promise that we make to resist evil, oppression, and injustice in whatever forms it presents itself? These are harrowing questions for me because I know that I have fallen short in many of these areas. I have a lot of work to do, a lot of preparation to do to become the kind of loving husband and father that I want to be, a warrior against injustice and an obedient disciple of Jesus. There is a lot of work to be done, but there is very, very good news. And that is that when our strength fails, God will provide us with the power required for God's will to be done. When we don't have the tools needed to face the challenge that's at hand, God will provide a way to respond to the challenge if we only pay attention and learn to be resourceful. And when we are brokenhearted, lonely, defeated, ashamed, God will comfort us with God's own presence, or through the presence of another, or even through the presence of creation. Like David said of Israel when he faced the Philistines, there is a powerful, resourceful, loving God with you. I'm so deeply grateful to serve as the executive director of Person County Habitat for Humanity. As a United Methodist deacon, this is my way to lead the church in a ministry of compassion and justice that connects the church and the world. It's a ministry of compassion in that it acknowledges the struggles of those dealing with tremendous and difficult life circumstances and seeks to comfort and heal those broken places. It's a ministry of justice because it seeks to transform unjust practices and realities in the housing market, literally the way we live together. It is also a ministry of preparation. So much of the work we do is to prepare homeowner partners to provide a safe, healthy, decent, affordable housing for themselves, their families, and their community. We learn new skills for work. We learn how to be good stewards of our money and our resources. Person County Habitat for Humanity is also preparing now to grow and provide more decent, affordable housing solutions for those who struggle with that in Person County. And we need your help. Most of all, we need volunteers. We need people to come out and do carpentry, hammer a nail, paint a wall, plant a flower, work at the yard sale fundraiser, serve on a committee. And I'd like to go ahead and give a shout out to Jim Kirst over here, who has already been serving on our construction committee, and he's pulled the permit on our very first rehab house that we're doing in Person County. And he's been a site supervisor out on the work site. And I just invite you to talk to him about that. Sorry, Jim, put you on the spot. And just see what a wonderful thing we're doing. And you should see the light in the family's eyes when they know that they have a chance to get out of a situation of captivity. It's very moving. All of these preparations that we've been talking about improve our ability to overcome the challenges of life and free us up to be focused on the things that really matter. Faith in God, love for family, care for others, healthy community, and joy in life. We're often blocked from receiving and experiencing these blessings because of the challenges that have overwhelmed us, but we can always overcome any challenge with a little preparation and a little help from God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.